All right. Well, take your Bible at this time and turn to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. And if you would join me in standing for the reading of God's word, Luke 14, we'll read verses 15 down through verse 24. And not a lengthy message tonight, just an encouragement as we look ahead to what God has for us this week with Resurrection Sunday, a week from today. We have a wonderful window of opportunity, and we want to seize that opportunity. Luke 15 in verse, or 14 in verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto them, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto his servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And let's pray together one more time. Lord, thank you for the word of God now. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this, bless the time in your word. Help us to understand our responsibility to go out into the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in so that your house would be filled. And Lord, I pray that you'd guide and direct during this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know if any of you have ever had an event that you were in charge of that you were really hoping that there would be a large crowd for. I've had several that I was involved in. I remember when I was a youth pastor and we had our very first youth rally. We host youth rallies here at our church, and I remember hosting our very first youth rally and wondering if anyone was going to come. And we had plenty of room. We had it all set up. And we were just kind of first time doing this. And I remember just sitting there going, I hope that churches actually come to this. And even our own workers show up to this. And our own teenagers show up to this. And I remember feeling those feelings. Well, what we have before us here is a scenario somewhat like that when there is a man who has a feast that he has prepared, and he's hoping that he'll be able to enjoy this with many. And in this passage, we find really a couple aspects. Certainly, there is a theological aspect regarding the gospel going to the Jews and then going to the Gentiles. But then we also have an aspect for all of us that we can apply today, and that is that we have a responsibility from our master to go out and compel others to come into the house of the Lord. Now, obviously, the house of the Lord being a church, yes, but ultimately, really, it means coming to the Lord Jesus for salvation. And with that in mind, I want to dive into this passage and look at a couple. Look at the different elements that make up this passage. First, we have, number one, the event. The event. In verse number 16, he says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And then he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And so there's an event that is, it's a parable here, and he's saying there's the master of the house who's prepared this great feast, right? But when we are thinking theologically and spiritually, we're thinking about what we learned about this morning, that one day there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's really what he's referring to here. It's He's saying, you know, this is a parable. It's a certain man made a great supper, but one day down the road, there's going to be a great supper, and it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we have the event, and what good is the event if no one shows up? And I know that maybe you've had like a birthday party or something where you've had it all laid out and all the food is there and just a couple people trickle in and that's it. And you have all this food that you've prepared and all these party favors maybe and all these decorations and no one's there to really enjoy them. That's discouraging. And that's kind of the scene here that we have in this passage. There's a certain man who made a great supper and bade many. And so here we go. We have the event, and the first three points are pretty quick. The last one's a little longer, so don't get too excited, okay? But I want us to see not only is there the event, but then there's the encouragement in verse 16. Again, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. So the encouragement was go, and there's the invitation to many people. And I think when Jesus came, I know when Jesus came to this earth, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So he invited many to come, and they did not come, but there was the encouragement to, in verse number 17, he sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So these invitations were sent out, and now, you know, we have in our house, we got this when we were in Montana, we had a little bit larger of a property than we did now. And we had the kids kind of outside a little bit more than they are now. And we got this little bell. Now, it wasn't the triangle, but when it was dinner time, we rang that bell and you could hear that pretty far away. And so we still have that. And sometimes when we need to get everybody's attention, we ring that bell. And here in verse number 17, that servant was sent at dinner time to say, hey, dinner's ready. Come on in, come on in. And so the encouragement was, all things are now ready. And when I think about this with what Jesus did for us on the cross, the blessings are ready. I mean, salvation has been paid for. It is finished. It's time to come to Jesus and be born again. So we have the event, we have the encouragement. And then number three, we have the excuses. So there's an event, the supper is ready. And the servant goes out and starts inviting people. Well, the invitations have been sent out, and the servant goes to say, okay, you've been invited. Now it's time to come because everything's ready. And praise the Lord, everything is now ready because Jesus did die on the cross. He rose again, ascended up into heaven, and now we can all come. But what ends up happening in verse number 18, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. So they were invited to come. I mean, the supper is there. It's ready. It's all things are done. I mean, every last decoration is put up. All the food is out of the oven. It's all on the table. The table's set. The napkins are even there. One thing in our house, we get all the food there and they bring me to the table and I'm like, okay, but where's the napkins? I need napkins because I need not just one napkin. I usually need about 13 napkins. Because I am not the cleanest eater on the planet. But it was all ready. And then they began to start making excuses. And they all did. Verse number 18, the first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. So the first man bought a piece of land, sight unseen. Now, how many of you would ever do that? Okay. I mean, most of us wouldn't do that. We would want to go see the piece of property, and especially in this day and age where they use that property not just to have more property on their portfolio, but more usually to use it for their business. And so they would go to that and inspect it and walk it and check it out. Well, this man said, No, I bought a piece of ground and I need to go and see it. I need to go check it out and see how it is. See if it's covered with rocks or if it's just on the side of a hill somewhere that I can't really turn into a farm. I need to go inspect this land. And so he says, I pray thee have me excused. And the second man, verse number 19, another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. So a yoke was, remember, for those who are here for our fall revival back in October when Brother Decker was here, he actually brought a little yoke where me and one of my children were in that yoke together. And we were that there was two of us in that yoke. So when there's five yoke of oxen, that means there's how many oxen? Five times two is 10. So there's 10 oxen, and this man buys these 10 oxen, and he, again, buys them sight unseen. You know, maybe he looks at, sees the ad on Craigslist somewhere and says, oh, there, you're selling some oxen. I'll go and I'll buy it. I'll send you the money. I'll wire you the money, and then I'll come look at it. So that's what this guy did. Now, in our modern day, we wouldn't do that with animals per se as much as we would do with like a car. It'd be like saying, hey, I bought a used car sight unseen, and so I need to go check it out and make sure it's drivable. No one does that. They go and drive it first, and then they buy it. At least I hope that's the way you do it. And this guy says, I need to go and check out these ox to make sure that they're healthy, that they're strong, that they're not these old ones who are diseased, who, you know, like they're going to do me no good, but I've paid for them. So he says in verse number 19, I pray thee, have me excused. So these are kind of lame excuses, and I don't even know if they're legitimate reasons, if these are all legitimate, because they're a little far-fetched for some of these things to happen. I mean, none of us would buy a used car sight unseen. I mean, maybe if we trusted the seller implicitly, and you know, he says, like, you, if you want to buy it today, if you want to send me the money, then we'll you come check it out later. I don't think we would do that. I think most of us would have the agreement that we need to check it out first before we throw down the money. Well, the first guy buys land without seeing it. The second guy buys oxen without seeing it. And then verse number 20, another said, have me, I have married a wife. Now, he didn't marry a wife sight unseen, I hope, okay? I hope that there was a little bit of, you know, inspection before making that decision. But he says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And in the book of Deuteronomy, we find in law, and I don't have the reference here for us, but there, when a man got married in the Old Testament, the first year of marriage, he was excused from working and going to war so that he might cheer up his wife. That's the words used there in that passage. And, you know, I've often wondered why he needs to cheer up his wife, because she married him and she's a little down now and he needs to cheer her up. And I wonder if being with her for an entire year would cheer her up. I don't know. But he says here, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now, that law that I'm referencing in Deuteronomy was not meant that they couldn't be involved in social events such as what we have mentioned in this passage. He could have totally come, but it was just an excuse. I don't know if any of the married couples have ever used, you know, well, I would, but I need to go check with my wife. So no. I mean, maybe if you're at a car dealership and you're like, I need to, or if you're at a store and somebody's trying to sell you on something and you go, well, you know, let me think about it. I need to run it by my wife, or I need to run it by my husband. And we kind of use them as an excuse. That's what this guy was doing here. I've married and, you know, I need to go, you know, visit with my wife. In other words, I don't want to come. I don't want to come. Now, someone once defined an excuse as a skin of reason stuffed with a lie. A skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. It's like a sausage with a thin external skin that holds all the meat together. But as soon as the sausage is pierced, the meat goes everywhere, revealing that it's just a whole lot bits of pieces and all thrown together. A skin of reason stuffed with a lie. And that definition fits well here in this passage. The fact of the matter is they didn't want to be at the banquet, because you make time for what's important to you and you find reason to do what you really want to do. So if they really wanted to be at this feast, at this banquet, at this supper, they would have figured out a way to make it happen. But instead, they tried to grasp for some type of excuse, some type of reason. All right, and these pathetic excuses they used tried to soothe their embarrassed consciences. Now, people today, when confronted with the invitation to come to Jesus for salvation, also have excuses. And maybe you've heard them if you've been out on outreach or you've tried to witness to somebody and they're going, ooh, I would love to talk, but I'm actually out of time. I need to go do this or I need to go do that. I would, but I have all these questions. And we have all these things, all these excuses that people come up with to try to keep them from coming to the Lord. Now, regardless of the excuses, those who were invited, who gave excuses, even though they were different, the results were the same. They missed out on the opportunity to participate in a wonderful celebration and partake in abundant blessing. And so it is with those who would make excuse to not come to Jesus. They miss out on abundant blessings. They miss out on having forgiveness of sin. They miss out on being part of God's family and having the promise of eternal life. And they have all these excuses and they come up with whatever and they grasp for all these different things. But the result is the same. They're not part of God's family. So there was excuses, and maybe you have been using excuses to not come to Jesus. Now, I know most of us in here tonight, and from as far as I know, everybody's come to the Lord. But if you haven't, and you've been making excuses about, well, I will just as soon as I kind of get this settled, just as soon as I deal with this, can I encourage you to stop with the excuses and come to Jesus and be born again? I want to go into this last thought here, number four, the expectation. The expectation. Here's why that we need to come to Jesus and be born again. Let's go to verse number 21. So all these excuses get thrown at the servant in verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly. Go out quickly." Okay, so the house was still empty and the decorations were still up. The food was all there and no one was in the house. And so when the servant was to go, there was an urgency. He was told to go out quickly. Why? Because time is short. Time is short. Our time here on this earth is short. I just had my half birthday on Friday. And does anybody else make a big deal of their half birthday? I'm the only one. I make a big deal about my half birthday. No one in my family even said happy half birthday until I brought it up and reminded them. I was waiting for somebody, but it was like at nighttime, right before bed. Friday was my half birthday, so I am now 47 and a half. Actually over that now because it's Sunday. But at that point, I'm halfway to 95. Wow. I'm hopefully going to live to 110, but okay, if I live to 95, I'm halfway done. This life is a vapor. And am I going to live to 95? I have no idea. Today could be my last day here on this earth. I could be one day away. I might not even make it home tonight. I don't know. Here's the point. Time is short for all of us. No one knows how much time we have here on this earth. So that's why there's an urgency to come to the Lord and be born again. So if you're here again and not saved, we need to have an urgency about coming to Christ. But those of us who have, there also needs to be an urgency about getting that message, that invitation out to others. Because those that we know who may not be saved, their lives are also just like ours, a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. So time is short and the Lord is coming back soon. It seems so evident, and I'm surprised he hasn't come back, but the Lord knows what he's doing and his timing's right. But he could come back at any moment. That's the next thing on God's calendar. His coming is imminent. Time is short. So we have just this small window of time. We don't know how long that window is, but we are to go out quickly in verse number 21. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring others, bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now notice to where the servant was sent. He was sent to the streets and the lanes of the city. We have some lanes and streets in this city that need someone to go out and invite people to come in to this house, yes, but most importantly, spiritually speaking, to the Lord's future marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a special window that is open for us now this coming week with Resurrection Sunday coming up next Sunday. And even more so than Christmas time, this is that time of year where really everybody goes to church. They go somewhere. And I know there's other churches in our area that preach the gospel, that'll preach the gospel on and make it very clear. But I guarantee this one will be. And we have an opportunity, a window to go into the lanes and the streets and compel and invite these individuals to come in. And notice who he sends the servant to. Bring in the hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Isn't that a great description of you and I before we were saved? We were poor. Oh, we may have had money in the bank, but spiritually speaking, we were completely bankrupt. It says, and maimed in the halt. We were crippled. We were unable to make it on our own. And the blind. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. That was all of us, spiritually speaking. You might have perfect 20/20 vision physically, but spiritually, before you were saved, you were completely blind. But praise the Lord, I once was blind, but now I see. And so we're to go to these people. Really, this is a description of everybody in our community. Maybe not physically, they're poor. Maybe not physically, they're maimed and halt and blind, but spiritually they are. And you and I have been called to go to them and get the gospel to them, invite them to come in, invite them to come to Jesus and be born again. Well, the servant obediently did as the master commanded. Verse 22, the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. So there was still a problem. There was still room. And by the way, I would just stop and say this. As I was studying this and I thought about this, yet there is room, I had a hallelujah moment. Because I was thinking, so all of these people come in, and you know what? There's still more room for others. And it got me to thinking about salvation. And look, I'm thankful that I've come, and I'm thankful that you've come. But listen, there's still yet room for others to come. There's a song that sometimes we sing here. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep it's its fountain, and as wide as the sea, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. So when I read this, yet there is room, it goes to show that, look, I'm thankful for those who've been saved and those who've been added to our church, but there's still room for more. And there's still room in the family of God for more. So we have to continue going into all nations and preaching the gospel to every creature. Remember Bethlehem, when Mary and Joseph were coming to register and to pay their taxes, and Mary was great with child, and it was the time when she should be delivered, And they went looking for a place for that, and there was no room for them. And so they got placed into this stable where Jesus was laid in a manger. And it says there was no room for them in the inn. So while there was no room for him, praise the Lord, he made sure there was room for you. And it's not just room for you, though. Room for your neighbor. Room for your coworker. Room for the person that you'll go buy a coffee from tomorrow. There's room for you. So there was still room at the feast. Now the master sends the servant now into the highways and hedges. In verse number 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The highways and hedges were the outskirts of the area. These were the people that maybe were not Jewish. These were the people who were different and destitute. These were the people who needed someone to love them and care for them. And that's who the master goes and now sends. And this is, by the way, a picture of the Gentiles. He said, okay, well, all the Jews have been invited and they have chosen to reject and they've chosen to make excuse. So now I want you to go to the Gentiles, the ones who the Jews despise. And I want you to go to them and invite them to come in and praise the Lord. Now the Gentiles can be saved. That's you and me. Last week, that wouldn't be Brother Haley. He was Jewish. but all of us who are Gentiles, that now includes me. And that's what he's saying here. Go out into the highways and hedges. That's where I am. That's where you are. And compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Now, the word compel here, we're called to go and compel them to come in. And that's the title of the message tonight. Compel them to come in. So when we're to go out and try to encourage people to come, so the word compel does not mean that we use physical force. And we don't threaten with violence like some religions do. Hey, if you're not part of our religion, then you must die. You must die. No, that's not how we're to do it. The word compel here, it gives the idea of convincing and persuading people to get saved. And this isn't being annoying or obnoxious. This is doing what we can to just encourage people to come to salvation. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And this master wanted his house to be filled. And look, as I look around tonight and even this morning, there's room. There's room. And there's no reason we should have empty chairs. We can fill these up. We can minister to more people. Again, my goal is not to be large, but my goal is to minister to who my, you know, here, the desire is that the house would be filled. And that's certainly my desire. Preaching to empty chairs is not near as fun as preaching to filled chairs. And having more people here to hear the gospel, more people here to grow in their faith and to develop into disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'm after. So this week, we have, again, a wonderful window of opportunity before us to invite people to come to Cornerstone Baptist Church. And let's do what we can to compel them to come. Why? Because there's room. There's room. Yeah, there's room here at our church, but more importantly, there's room in the family of God for them. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. So let's look for opportunities this week to compel people to come. We have our Resurrection Sunday flyers. Let's use those this week to invite somebody. And I know some may be a little bit, kind of more of a beginner when it comes to inviting people. And it's all you can do to put a flyer in somebody's hand. And that's a big step for you. Take that step. But I want to encourage us to, the idea here about compelling is not just, here's the flyer. Come if you can, but to compel them to have some courage and some boldness to say to somebody, hey, would you please be my guest this Sunday? Everybody goes to church on Easter. Would you come with me to Cornerstone Baptist Church and more? Because our pastor is going to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what difference does it make in your life? And I think it'll be helpful. And I know you'll enjoy our church family. We're a very friendly church. Going that extra step and encouraging somebody, and then, hey, can I give you a ride? And maybe afterwards, if you're not doing anything for lunch, would you come over to our home? Would you, I'll take you out to eat, or something of that nature. Let the Lord use you to compel somebody to come with you. So I'm not just saying invite someone. Now I'm encouraging you to, as the Lord is, to compel them to come in. Let the Lord use you this week to do that, because you never know what one invitation can do. Several years ago, there were two teenage boys who were the best of friends. They hung out all the time. One day, one of them, his name was Nathan, invited his best friend to a special day at his church. They were having a guest speaker, and he thought this would be an opportunity to invite his best friend with him. Well, that friend reluctantly agreed to attend. And once there, the guest speaker did his speech, and then the pastor of the church got up and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that friend that came with Nathan was already saved, but greatly appreciated the message and decided to keep coming to this church. Several months later, the church started a Bible college, and Nathan and his friend that came with them that day both decided to attend this college and learn more about the Bible and serving the Lord in ministry. 4 years later, both Nathan and his friend walked the platform and received their bachelor's degree in religious studies in Bible. That friend went on to serve the Lord in a church about 2 hours away, and he stayed there for nearly 16 years, ministering in various roles. That friend would move out of state for 3 years to help another small church. And then in September of 2018, that friend moved to Moore, Oklahoma, and became the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church. And it all started with an invitation of my best friend, Nathan Adams. I thank God for that invitation. It changed my life. And that invitation has impacted all of you too, and so many others along the way. What impact will your invitation this week make? Only God knows. Let's go out and compel them to come in. I'm for just giving a flyer, and I think that if some are a little new to this and that's all you can muster, do that. But for those who've been doing it for a little while, let's ramp up our game. Let's bring our A game this week and put a little energy and a little conviction in it by compelling somebody and giving a little bit more than just a here. If it's not too much trouble, can I just leave this with you? But to go and say, would you please be my guest? Knowing what that invitation might mean in their life. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Let's read verse 24 and we'll wrap it up here. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Here's the deal. Those that were bidden and made excuse, they didn't get to enjoy the blessings of that supper. But those who did, got to enjoy it. And I know that there's going to be people out there who aren't going to appreciate your invitation or maybe make excuse or say, oh, well, I'm going to be out of town or I'm going to be doing this. And no, I'm already going to another church. Move on to somebody who is maybe realizes that they're poor and maimed and halt and blind. Maybe they'll appreciate that invitation. And let's have a heart of compassion this week and go out and compel others to come to the house of God on Sunday, but more importantly, come to the future supper of the Lamb he has waiting for all of us. Let's pray together tonight.